find our text in the Psalms. The Psalms, we thank the Lord for the privilege to be in this place tonight. And do not take the open door for granted. And glad to see some friends tonight. Brother Dean, we've known him for a long, long time, and we thank him for making the trip over tonight. I have been on a lot of occasions this year drawn to the Psalms for various and sundry reasons. And as of late, I have been drawn to a cluster of Psalms that are Psalms 56 through 60. They are known as the Miktam Psalms, Miktam Psalms. There is one single that stands by itself, Psalm 16. But I'd like to look at three of those in these days that we're together. I feel like tonight the Lord has assigned us Psalm 57. The old Puritan called the Psalms God's hymn book. When they would get together, they would open the Psalms and sing many of these old Psalms that David had written. And these are called Miktam Psalms. I want us to look at these Psalms these days. It seems like each one of these Psalms, David will share a thought with us, although a very simple thought, about who God is. You know, God's hard to explain. Just saying he's God, he's just got too many facets, too many sides to him. And David shares a lot of those with us. In the title, old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, the title is as inspired as the text. I have a tendency to agree with him. He said this was written when he fled from Saul in the cave. I'd like to take this psalm tonight and preach on a hymn of God when David was forsaken in a cave. Forsaken in a cave. David has been running from Saul for a good while. 1 Samuel 24 tells us that David and 600 of his men are inside of a cave, lined around. Saul comes with an army of 3,000. And the Bible says that he went in this cave to relieve himself. He's going to go to the bathroom. David's men whispered to him, said, here's your chance. Kill him. Well, he doesn't. He cuts the bottom of his robe off. And when he does, God smites him. And he feels like God's left him. He's all alone. He's forsaken. I'd like to take this psalm tonight and look at this little thought that David would leave with us. It's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not unless you had a doctor's degree in theology, but I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. God is with us. God is with us. Oftentimes I hear people say, you know, I just feel like God's left. What's that feel like? It's nothing more than a feeling. God's presence has never been a feeling. It's always a fact. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always reminded of the elderly couple that were riding down the road, and she said to him, she says, I can remember when I used to sit over there by you so close. I'd put my arm around your neck. I love what he said to her. He said, I ain't moved. If you feel like tonight God's forsaken you, you make yourself a note. He hasn't moved. He's where He's always been. As we begin to unpack this psalm tonight, this hymn of God, when David was in a cave forsaken, you stay around here long enough, you feel like God has withdrawn Himself. He's left you alone. But I assure you, it is a feeling. It cannot be a fact. I notice a title tonight, to be observed when forsaken. He said to the chief musician, David said, this is a public psalm. He says, I want it to be sung down at the temple. He says to the chief musician, Al-Tashhath. I love that little statement. David has written across this psalm, do not destroy. This is a keeper. And then he uses this miktam of David. Engrave it upon their minds by singing it over and over and over again. That's why oftentimes in church we don't have to get our song book. It has been engraved upon our minds. David said, I want to engrave upon their minds this thought. God is with us. God is with us. I don't care who's in the White House. God's with us. That'd be worth shouting about, wouldn't it? Title, to be observed when forsaken. David felt like this psalm was very important. It was a keeper. He told the chief musician, you keep this, sing it over and over again until it is engraved in their minds that they'll not ever forget it. I notice in the text, troubles that overwhelm when forsaken. David feels like God has withdrawn Himself because he has touched God's anointing. I notice in this trouble, a place to run in trouble. He says in verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. I was looking at that little phrase in Jewish literature. They said when one would repeat this phrase twice, accompanied by an oh, the O is a term of desperation in Jewish literature. And to repeat this phrase twice speaks of one who is at his wit's end. He has had all he could take. That's where David is in this psalm. You ever get to a place where you feel like, I can't take anymore? What should I do, preacher? Well, this might work. Oh, God. Because He is with us. He says, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Talking about a place to run in trouble. My soul, my spiritual man is trusting in Thee. He says, I'm going to rest all of the weight of my spiritual man upon You. And then I love this. He says, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Shadow of His wings. He's interested in God, this God who is with Him. He's interested in Him, covering Him completely over where you cannot see David. I would be interested in that myself. Hide me until all of this mess in this world is over with. Place to run. If you feel like God has withdrawn yourself from you, run and hide in Him. Isn't that what they told us when COVID first broke out? Shelter in place. Well, I tell you, until this mess is over with, let's shelter in Him tonight. Because He is the God who is with everybody? No! He is only with His people. I notice not only is there a place to run in trouble, there is a performance to reflect on in trouble. He says in verse number 2, I will cry unto God Most High. Here, when you hide in Him, you're seeking to find your presence in Him. By all means, talk to Him while you're hiding in Him. Don't be silent. Don't keep your mouth shut. Talk to Him. Let us use our words here. David says, I cried unto God Most High. That little word cry, to summons, to plead, to beg with. And so why in the world would I want to do that for? Look at the end of verse 2. Unto the God that performeth all things for me. I was interested in that little word, performeth, to perfect, to birth, to bring to a completed good end. The God who is with us tonight brings everything in our life to a good end tonight. Oh, what a God tonight. And to think, I don't even know if you can get this or not. I hate to bring it up, but I'll get back to the motel sometimes. And I'll say, man, I wished I'd have told them that. Man, that'd been good. I didn't want to forget to tell y'all, God's with us. God's with us. I notice not only is there a place to run, there's a performance to reflect on, but there is a promise to rely in trouble. He says in verse number 3, He shall send from heaven. God will intervene. God will interject Himself into our situations. I was interested in that little phrase, He shall send from heaven. The little phrase means to come with outstretched hands. Our God who is with us tonight, when we feel like He has withdrawn, He has forsaken us, you can rest assured He's not gone anywhere. He's reaching out with His hands to us. But I love this definition of that little phrase. It means to widen the path by cutting away the branches of debris. Oh, tonight we may not can see our way through this, but the God who is with us, He is going before us and He is cleaning out the debris for us to come through. Oh, it's a promise. He says, I'm here. He says, He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Save me. He can liberate me from trouble. He can, from those who would swallow me up. They want my breath. They want my blood. He says He can deliver me from reproach. I was interested in that thought, reproach. The word literally means to take from a winter season and place in a continual spring season. I don't know, that just sounds good, doesn't it? Well, who can do that? Here it is, the God who is with us tonight. Oh, He ends this little section tonight with the little word Selah. That little word Selah is a whole note in the psalm. And it is used for those who sing the high soprano notes. David said, I don't want none of that bass crowd down there singing this song. This is not a bass song. He says, I want them gals with them high soprano voices make glasses break. He said, I want them to lift up this song. It is a high note tonight to know that God is with us tonight. That little word seal, it has the idea of changing the focus from a downward focus to an upward focus. Literally, it has the idea to keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. Oh, I tell you tonight, when we realize that we may feel like God's withdrawn, but when we realize by faith that God is with us, He cannot go anywhere. There's nowhere else but for our chin to go upward. I love that, don't you? You can't be in the mully grubs tonight thinking that God is with you. I'm talking about troubles that David had that overwhelmed him. But I see in the text tonight not only a title to be observed, troubles that overwhelm, but I see trials that oppress. Trials that oppress. Notice the passion of the oppressors. David says in verse 4, my soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men. That little phrase, sons of men, demonic people. I did not know if you noted it or not. I hate to be the first to have bear of bad news. But we are sitting in the midst of a world full of demonic people. He says, whose teeth are spears and arrows. Tongue or sharp swords. Sounds like the crowd that our Lord was in the middle of at the cross. He said, the dogs of Bashan have come upon me. What in the world are we going to do when all of this crowd is surrounding us? We better run to the God who is with us. I notice not only a passion of the oppressors. Of course, our battles are not ours anyway. They're God's. But I see the pit for the oppressors. He says in verse number 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Hey. The wicked of this world is digging a pit for God's people. Wonder what will happen to God's people. He says here in verse number 6, whereof they are fallen themselves. David, what are you going to do? Not only is there a pit and a passion, but I notice the person to be lifted up. David stands on the brink of this pit. And in verse number 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth. He begins to lift up God who is with him. He is standing on the brink of hell, watching these his enemies go to hell. And he is focusing not on them, but on the God who is with us. Be thou, not me, David, be thou. Exalted, raised up to the highest point, above the top of all visibility, higher than the sun, the moon, and the stars. Let his glory, his splendor, his deity be recognized above all. I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, but I will make this statement. I feel like in verse number 5, David ain't feeling lonely no more. He has realized that this God could never leave him. He's constantly with him. And he is constantly lifting him up. I mentioned last of all tonight, not only the title to be observed, troubles that overwhelm, trials that oppress. Could I mention a triumph that overcomes when forsaken? Preacher, when God is with us in our troubles, does he have some kind of ulterior motive? What does he want out of me? Well, let's see what he got out of David. Notice the persuasion for triumph. David says in verse number 8, "Awake up, my glory, awake, palestry and harp. I myself will awake early." It seems like David is wore out. All of this running from Saul, after this session of feeling that God has left him, David tells God, he says, "My men and I, we're going to go over here and go to sleep." And he says, "When we wake up, we're going to give you glory." I'm reading a story not long ago about a rooster. He got all the barnyard animals together. And he told them, he said, "Did y'all know that the sun gets up every morning to hear me crow?" David says, "When I get up in the morning," he says, "I'm going to go to crowing." What come he want to do that for? So the S-O-N will come down on what he's doing. Can I assure you tonight that there is no one in the Bible that ever crowed for God and it looked like this while they were doing it? Nobody. Nobody. Are you listening to me tonight? Funeral homeism does not draw God's attention. But he does get excited if somebody was to go to crowing about him. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, well, what in the world should I do that, get all happy at church for? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Because he's with us. That's something to crow about. He hasn't left us. He's here with us. The persuasion for trial. I notice the practice in trial. David says in verse number 9, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people." He says, "I'm going to come over here. And when I get over here, I'm going to sit on my hands the whole time I'm here. And I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm going to act like we're at a funeral home." No! He said, "I'm going to praise you." I was interested in that little word, praise. It means to make loud words of thanksgiving while the hands are extended upward with the palms open. Matter of fact, the little Hebrew word is the little word hadah, to act clamorously foolish in public. Are you listening to me tonight? What in the world would I want to get all happy like that for? Because he's with us. He says, not only am I going to do it here, he says in the text, "I will sing unto thee among the nations." He says, "I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it out." He says, "I'm going to go out, I'm going to go down to Walmart and crow." How come, David? Because God is with me. Oh, in this trial of trouble, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if some of us would go to crowing, giving God glory, giving God thanks, giving God praise? He's so worthy of it. He says in verse number 11, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." He is esteeming him highly above everything. He says in verse number 10, "For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." He says, "You have withheld from me what I deserved. You have given me what I don't deserve. How could I do less tonight than crow about what you have done?" As the rooster felt like the sun, did not I read somewhere in the Bible that God inhabits when his people sit on their hands and keep their mouths shut? No! He says he inhabits praise of his people.
Yes.
Says he comes down on it when they crow.
I love the hound. Let's stop right there and say hallelujah. Some of you ain't never even said amen at church.
I notice there is a position in trial. David says, "I don't know about you men." He says, "But this whole situation has caused a change in me." He says in verse number 7, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Surely, 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 surely you don't think tonight that David is talking about this thing that is thumping inside of us. Oh no. In the world would God want our hearts for that's thumping inside of us? Most of us need open heart surgery, don't even know it. I'm going to invite him into my heart. In the world would he want to go in there for? Is he talking about my heart is fixed? One place David says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so here, if my heart is fixed, all my thoughts fixed on him." If a thought comes along that is not God-centered, Paul said to arrest it and ask it why it's here. How come? Because God is with us. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I must not only give him all my thoughts, I must give him all my feet.
I say, "Richie, you pray for me. I just feel like God's left me."
It's a feeling. Focus your feelings on him. He's with us. Jesus himself says, "As a man purposeth in his heart, not only must I give him all of my thoughts and all my feelings, but I must give him all of my doings." In closing, I was thinking about an old gal. She lived about 149 years ago. She loved to crow. Matter of fact, she's blind. Y'all know her, Fanny Crosby. She crowed about 1,000 songs. She'd go to church sometimes and they'd sing one of her songs, and she'd lean over to one of her friends. She said, "Man, that's a good song. I never heard that." He said, "Fanny, you wrote that song." She said, "Sure, no." She said, "I forgot I wrote that one." I was thinking about that some time ago. Beth and I was watching an old Western, and it was a shoot-'em-up Western. But the movie Come On, with the background music of one of Fanny Crosby's songs. The movie went off, the music of Fanny Crosby's song. Matter of fact, two or three times in the movie, two or three different people hummed it or sung it. I looked over at her, I said, "Man," I said, "old Fanny's been gone almost 150 years. She's still crowing."
What song was it, preacher? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Sounds like to me old Fanny's a-crowing. Angels descend, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love, perfect submission. All is at rest. When God's with us, we know all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. I love this little phrase. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. When is the last time you were so overwhelmed with His presence, you felt like you were lost in His love? Old Fanny said, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. When is the last time, or has there ever been a time, that you crowed and God came down upon you?